Continuing on the safety stock, that safety stock should be directly proportional to the service level required. So what is the service level required? If your service level says that 100% time the material should be available. Now, let us say that I'm making components and I'm supplying it to an automobile supplier. I have a service level agreement that every time they ask for the material, 100% of the time the material will be available. And I'll be able to supply the material within the stipulated time. Let us say the stipulated time is 2 days. Then I have to keep inventories in that fashion. So my safety stock, be it the raw material or the finished goods, has to be kept proportionately. But let us say that my service level says that I have 1 week time to deliver from the time I receive the purchase order. My safety stock can be low because I have time to make or manufacture the product and then supply it to the principal. Directly proportional to the actual replenishment time. So what is the replenishment time? The time taken from the time I place an order on my supplier till the time I receive the material in my warehouse. So replenishment lead time is time of arrival of material minus time of start of procurement process. Now this definition is slightly a little more elaborate, because when you say start of procurement process, it can also involve, let's say it's a one-time procurement, then negotiation. That means calling for quotations, negotiating with the parties, comparing the quotations, and then placing an order. And then after the order is placed, the material comes to you. So this entire sequence is covered under the replenishment lead time. But for regular material which you only have to give a call off, so there it is from the time you give a call off till the time you receive the material. If actual forecast requirements are more than the forecast, more safety stocks are required. So if you find that the demand, actual demand, is higher, then you need to review your safety stock. So let us say that you were earlier selling 5,000 units per month and you had fixed a safety stock. But today you are selling 7,000 units per month. You need to review your safety stock and you need to revise the safety stock so as to ensure that you don't stock out. So safety stock is supposed to cover the material shortage uncertainty. But as I said, uncertainty due to external factors, not internal factors. So again, coming to the supply side optimization, it needs a monitoring of shipping cycle. And in the next slide, we will see what are these. So shipping cycle, delivery cycle, replenishment cycle, MRP process, vendor capacity, supplier managed inventory, lot sizes, and your MRP cycle. So let's look at what each of these means. So shipping cycle. So our current transport times need a second look. The latest communication systems must be put to use to plan and monitor material movement. So are the transporters giving us the right service, or are they, the material is being picked up, the transporter is taking a halt overnight at some place and then bringing the material after 2 days. Can he bring the material within 1 day? So shipping cycle needs to be reviewed. Maybe you have to select your shipping vendor, that means your transporter, so that he provides the best service. There can be failure once in a while. There can be a breakdown of the vehicle, etc. But normally, that should not be the case. Again, when you choose a reliable vendor, then he also should have reliable vehicles. He should have vehicles which are not too old and which have consistent service levels. Delivery cycle. So to improve the distribution resource planning, the cross-plant delivery between production and off-premise warehouse has to be optimized. So One thing we saw shipping cycle was from the supplier to our warehouse. Delivery cycle is on the external side, which is on the outgoing material. So we also need to see how we can shorten that time so that we can improve the availability of material by reducing safety stock at the distribution point. And how do we do that? By shortening the delivery cycle. So delivery cycle also includes the time taken to supply the material, right from, picking the material, invoicing the material, loading the vehicle, and then transporting it and delivering it to the distribution point. Replenishment cycle, reducing the replenishment lead time and monitoring them. We already saw that, if it's a one-time purchase, then the cycle would start right from selection of vendor, asking for quotations, negotiation, placing of the order, material getting ready and getting transported and received at your warehouse. So in that case, the replenishment time is much longer. But if you have a regular raw material supplier with whom you have open order, so there it's just a call off. So you give a call off, and then from that point of time, he has a certain time to deliver the material. So MRP process, adoption of the latest software and optimizing MRP tool and clearly defined areas of responsibility. So having the right MRP process and the MRP tool, that means the right ERP, etc., will also help you in predicting the requirement. For example, one of the ERP that we were using, every time an order came in and the MRP used to run every day. So what it used to do is it used to recalculate the material requirement. And if you have an order on the supplier, let's say on X date of the month, it will tell you whether you need to advance that delivery. So it will also tell you that with this new order which has come in, you are going to fall short of the material, or there may be a period of stock out. So if you can try and get the material early. So in which case you can intimate the supplier and ask him to deliver the material a little earlier. So MRP process or the selection is important. Vendor capacity, we already talked about it in the previous chapter. Improving the vendor performance and including the vendor's capacities in our planning. So let us say 5,000 units is what we require. Vendor has a capacity of only 2,000 units. Then you are depending on 2-3 vendors. But ideally, if you have a vendor who has a capacity of, let's say, 7,000 units, then you know that even if there is a sudden surge in demand, the vendor will be able to meet it. So vendor capacity is also very important. Supplier managed inventory. So planning the inventory in collaboration with vendors and resulting inventory and storage responsibility of a supplier can lead to a substantial improvement in procurement process. What it means? Supplier managed inventory is nothing but the supplier keeping inventory at his end. So there is a safety stock that he maintains. So you say that at any given point of time, you should have 1,000 units ready with you. And this is what we call as a supplier managed inventory. So rather than you keeping the inventory, you are giving the responsibility of holding that inventory to the supplier so that you can call off this inventory at short notice. Lot size. The use of optimized lot sizing procedure enables the unit to reduce lot sizes and thereby inventory to be held. It increases inventory turnover and allows us to handle larger volumes of transaction with less on-hand inventory. So here, optimization of the lot means instead of producing, let's say, 1,000 units at a time, when I know that my immediate requirement is not more than 300 units. So why do I produce 1,000 units and keep it? Can I produce only 500? And this is the optimization of the lot size. It is going to change my number of setup times. It is going to increase my setup time, but I am going to save on the inventory. I am going to save on the working capital. So you need to optimize. So instead of just saying that, okay, I'll start producing one particular product and I will produce it nonstop for 10 days. But what happens to the inventory? Because what you produce in 10 days is going to be sold over a period of 2 months. It's not going to help the organization. So you need to produce only that which will be sold immediately, let's say within the month or less than a month. So you can have two runs of that particular product within the month. Let's say first run is in the first week, the second run will be in the third week of the month. And that way you ensure that you are not building up very high inventory. Another advantage of doing this is, suppose there is a sudden reduction in the demand, then you are not stuck with high inventory. When you are taking the second batch, at the time you have the opportunity to scale down the production and say that instead of producing 500, I'll produce only 300. So this flexibility also lies with you when you have a optimized lot size, I would put it as. MRP cycle. So by implementing a real-time MRP, we can identify the effects of changes immediately and proactively respond to them and take corrective actions. Several software options are already available. So I remember in the good old days, my organization used to run the MRP once a month. And this I'm talking about 30 years ago. Then came a time when we were running the MRP every week. So whatever orders have come in the last week, the MRP will run and it will throw up additional requirements. So it will say, you already have so much stock, you have so many open orders which are, you know, expected to arrive, but based on your current confirmed orders in the system, you need to order so much more raw material or so much more components. So that was a weekly cycle. Today, when you are running ERP systems like SAP or Oracle or so, they are working in real time. And the moment an order comes in, it'll basically look up your system and it'll throw up a requirement. It throws up a purchase requisition saying that, look, with this order, you now require additional quantity. And if you bring this quantity as per the, replenishment lead time that you have maintained in the system, you will be able to promise the product to the customer by this date. So MRP cycle plays an important role, again, in controlling your inventories, optimizing the inventory. So production side optimization. So we have seen the supply side. Production side also we have seen in terms of the lot size, etc. What are the other measures that we can take? So by reducing the production lead time, we can reduce the buffer stock. So let us say that the production time for a product today is 1 week. That 1 week, if we can make it into 2 days, then to that extent, we can reduce the buffer stock of that material in our finished goods. Now, how do we do that? Typically, if you look at the actual processing time for a product, if you add up, let's say there are 5 machines and the product has to be processed and go through those 5 machines. When you add up the actual contact time, that means the time when the item is being processed, it may come to just few hours. It may come to like 16 hours. But in the shop floor, when you look at, one process is completed, then it is waiting for the next process. The next process is completed, it's waiting for the third process. And in this way, it is taking 1 week's time. So if you can reduce the production lead time, then you immediately reduce the buffer stock because you are able to plan the any change in production and supply the material within 2 days' time. So then the buffer stock you keep needs to be only for 2 days. That means any demand which you need to meet within the 2 days that it is going to take for you to start producing that fresh stock of material, you only need to cater to that 2 days gap. Production plan with optimum setup results in higher output, which releases capacity. So while we said that lot sizes have to be small, they also should not be so small that you have frequent setup time and frequent changeovers. Because if you have too many changeovers, then your contact time, actual productive time of the machine and people will come down, and your downtime for setup will be higher. So one more thing here is you also need to look at your setup times and see how you can reduce your setup times. And we will come to this a little later when we talk about the single minute exchange of die. Increased transparency and flexibility of production processes enables us to react faster to exceptional situations without compromising customer service level. So transparency and flexibility in the production process. Flexibility is if you are able to quickly change from, let's say, one product to the other product, one color to other color. Like, for example, in a car manufacturing, are you under a compulsion to make only white cars or only red cars or only gray cars? Or you can change the colors quickly. How they do it, I'm not sure. But I have seen assembly line of automobiles where you will see different color cars on the same assembly lines, which means that they have either a parallel processing where you can have the color of your choice. So if you decide that this model is required in red color, it will go to the red line for the paint, and then it comes out, the paint is baked, and it's available on the assembly line for assembling the components. We must attempt to reduce the buffer stock at each location by implementing better coordination across all production level. So we reduce the safety stock, we reduce the buffer stock, and this has to be done through coordinated efforts throughout the process, right from supplier to your distribution. Reduction of product variants enables improved utilization of production and capacity. So we already saw this in the earlier chapter also, that if you have too many variants of the product, like for example, there is a car and you have got five different variants, it's going to be much more complex trying to manufacture all those variants, because even the components required will be so many different, and you will be holding separate inventories of those components. But if you have, instead of five, only three variants, then it makes the job all the more easier, and you can operate with much less buffers. So inventory management as a company strategy. So inventory optimization has to be allotted a priority in business units' strategic business plan, and this is being done. I can assure you that the companies that I have worked for, we had very tight targets, and every year the targets were being reduced. And it's not that the inventory targets were reduced, but there used to be a clear strategy on how we are going to achieve those numbers. That means what is going to be improved in the system so that we can achieve those targets. So it is not simply a matter of putting pressure on the people and saying that you work with, but you look at how you can reduce your procurement lead times, how you can reduce your the manufacturing lead time. At every stage, how do you compress the time by improving the efficiency? Clear inventory management responsibility have to be defined and strictly implemented. So every function has to have this responsibility. So procurement is responsible to reduce the replenishment lead time. The warehouse, etc., will also have a responsibility to ensure that the material is, brought inward into the inventory at the earliest with minimum delay, issued to the process without any delay. The production is responsible to see that it's converted into a finished product in the shortest possible time with minimum WIP. Same thing is for the distribution and logistics. So there also, how quickly, so that, instead of producing material, keeping it in the warehouse, it should be, as soon as it is produced, it should be ready to be shipped out. One example I'll give you is, we used to have export containers. Now each container will have, let's say, 4 or 5 products, and each container typically used to have a load of between 12 and 14 tons. So there used to be a lot of effort and planning put in to ensure that those 5 products come out more or less at the same time, so that it does not so happen that 3 products are ready for shipment, but 2 products are not ready, because unless all the 5 products are ready in full, you cannot ship out the container. So management of the processes is very important. A centralized inventory management process has to be drawn and put in process, and this is possible with the ERP system, because in an ERP system you can track the inventory and you can manage it right from the supplier or from the time it reaches your premises till the time it reaches your distribution warehouse. This process has to cover inventory held at each stage and location in the supply chain cycle, with clear responsibilities well defined for each stakeholder. We already discussed how each function has to be made responsible, and they have to meet this, the requirements set, you know, the targets which are set. Periodic reviews will ensure corrective action. So if you find that you are frequently running into stockouts or frequently running into excess inventory, you need to review and find out the root cause as to why this is happening, so that you can correct it. Corporate supply chain needs to be transparent. So it is necessary, as it enables tracking and tracing systems, keep you informed anytime about current whereabouts and condition of the inventories held all over. So whether it's in transit, so as I said, you know, there are GPS systems available today where you can track where your truck is on the way. So you can know exactly what is the material in transit. Even I remember in our companies, I have worked for, multinationals. So when the material is shipped, it is on the high seas. We know exactly where the material is, when it is supposed to arrive, how much time it is going to take for custom clearance, when it will be available to us. And the ERP system, because we had an integrated ERP system where all the companies globally are connected on the same ERP. So the moment the material is shipped out in Europe, we are able to see it, that it is invoiced, that it is shipped, and the moment it is cleared at the port, we are even able to see that it is on the way to the warehouse. The GRN is done, we immediately see it in our inventory, so that we know it can be taken up for production immediately. The software SAP contains a module called SCEM, that is Supply Chain Event Manager. So use of these tools also helps the organization plan their inventories better, trace it, improve the visibility and management of the inventory. So it enables us to make a real-time status request to determine whether our goods are currently caught in a traffic jam and consequently will not be delivered in time. So it helps you to also make alternative arrangement or change the production schedule so that your machines don't go idle. You can change the product to another product where the raw materials are available. On delivery side also, it helps you to inform the customer that the shipment is delayed for XYZ reasons, and part of the service that you give to the customer of keeping him informed. It also advises us if we have to send a substitute delivery when alternate route to our customer. So let us assume that there is an accident. The truck which was carrying the material met with an accident, and the material is going to take maybe infinite time or a month before, you know, the investigation happens, or maybe some of the material may be damaged. At least then you know that you have to plan another supply immediately to meet the customer requirement. So this is how the ERP system helps us. So the objectives and goals of each function in an organization must integrate with the objectives and goals of the other function. So this is what I always say, that it has to be holistic optimization, not a sub-optimization, not an optimization of only one function like procurement, or only optimization for finance, or optimization for production. It should be optimization for the business as a whole, where we achieve overall objective of low cost, customer service, customer satisfaction, and working capital. The coordination of individual objectives and goals obviously results in higher inventory sensitivity and an improved understanding of business processes. Self-explanatory, I don't need to explain this sentence. It is necessary to make each inventory producer responsible for owning the consequences of their inventory shortage and surplus. So, all the people who are producers of inventory, whether it's a trading item or whether it's a manufactured item, if there is a shortage, that means there is a stock out, or there is a surplus, they have to be held accountable. A full-fledged inventory reporting system has to be established. And normally, if you have a ERP system, a good ERP system will give you an inventory reporting system, which will tell you exactly how much inventory you are holding at which stage, what inventory. That means including the details of the inventory. You can even drill down to the level of how old is your inventory. For example, if you have one particular material, how many lots are there in the inventory, and each lot is how old. We come to the end of the chapter. Thank you.